This is Hot Tech with Jan Vermeulen.
A very good afternoon, Jan Vermeulen.
Good afternoon. It's a pleasure to be here.
And a week later. Can you believe it? A week's passed. And Jan, the dreaded L word, load shedding, Kuberg unit quits again. Let's kick off with that. Not great news to have load shedding again.
So just this morning we published a story on Kuberg, and then later this afternoon is coming out stage two load shedding for the rest of the week. It's not all due to Kuberg. The Kuberg unit 2 is 920 megawatts of electricity, and that's just under one stage of load shedding. But they had failures at five other power stations, single unit failures at five other power stations. But yes, this Kuberg situation is real cause for concern. It started earlier this year when the contractor arrived at Kuberg and saw that Eskom hadn't done even the basics. They had not constructed the shed necessary to hold the old radioactive components while they were servicing the power plant. And so they had to pretty much pause the life extension project of Kuberg and only do the refueling. And so, yeah, now we're stuck in this situation where, or not stuck, but rather we're in the situation where the project to extend the life of Kuberg and get its license extended by the international body that regulates these things is now dependent on something that needs to happen, but you know, in next year. And if it doesn't happen next year, then Kuberg has to shut down. And now on, you know, to kind of compound things, Kuberg was at full strength over the weekend, and then while they were testing something with the core rods, it tripped, which is a good sign in terms of making sure that the safety features are working, but it's a really bad sign in that this is a power station that has just been serviced. It has just been refueled, and it like just as it comes on stream, it trips. And we're seeing this happen across Eskom's fleet, but the fact that it's happening with Kuberg, it's not cause for concern that Kuberg will bow down or anything bad like that, but that we might lose almost 2,000 megawatts of power because just of the complete dearth of skills remaining in the country to handle these kinds of things. And perhaps this is the reality check that we needed in South Africa. There's that nuclear power is just not something that we should even be considering at this stage. Simply because we will not be able to get it running and keep it running.
And Jan, so stage two, they've said, will be what, every night this week?
Yeah, so it started at 4, and it is going, not every night, it's going to be every day from 5 in the morning until 10 at night. We're going to have load shedding until Saturday, until at least Saturday, I should say. And hopefully the units that have broken down will kind of return to service. But if there's more breakdowns, then that's higher levels of load shedding. It's longer load shedding. So hopefully we get lucky, and things return to normal again after Saturday, and or even luckier than that, and they can end load shedding before the weekend. But I suspect they're going to need at least Saturday to refill the pumped storage.
So it's not just Kuberg. I mean, you mentioned five other power stations at risk here as well.
Five power stations where units have tripped, and I can't rattle them all off the top of my head at the moment. The one is Arnot, but the big one is Medupi. Mm. Brand new coal power station, and we can't keep its units online. You know, it really just speaks to the crisis at Eskom at the moment. And I don't want to sound like a Cassandra or a Jeremiah, but, you know, it's just really bad news. And hopefully these hundreds of experts that are supposed to be coming in to help fix things at Eskom arrive sooner rather than later, and are welcomed with open arms rather than seen as a threat or you know, some other negative reaction, just so that we can all pull together, or everybody at Eskom, let me put it that way, because we all want to be behind Eskom, right? Like all the staff at Eskom that are doing their jobs, who are not corrupt, who are trying their level best. I think, you know, there needs to be a message that, like, the whole of South Africa is behind them. The whole of South Africa wants Eskom to work. But we also have to acknowledge the reality of the situation, and that's that there's a deep crisis at Eskom. And there's, you know, there's a couple of working theories, perhaps that the deep skills that, you know, there are too few people trying to do too much work across too many power stations, even though there's a lot of staff at Eskom. But, you know, it's about the engineers with the deep skills necessary to look after these incredibly old power stations.
I think we can take out the deep crisis in Eskom. And on another note, Uber Eats and Mr. Delivery, comparing prices against what you'd pay in a restaurant. Very interesting topic.
Yeah, thank you. So this is something we've been kicking around for a while. Obviously, we want to, you know, give these companies some leeway and grace, but it just got too much, you know, to the point where, you know, you see restaurants on, you know, on a 100 rand meal or something charging between 20 and 40 rand extra. And we know it's not the restaurants. We know that there's extra costs involved with Mr. D and Uber Eats, but we would you know, since, you know, they're not going to play open cards with the costs that they charge the restaurants, and the restaurants are skittish about providing it, so the best we could do is just do a straight up comparison, which we did. And Uber Eats got back to us. Mr. D did not provide comment. Take a Lot, which owns them, just didn't get back to us on our questions at all. But, you know, Uber Eats playing coy, or rather pushing the problem over to the restaurants and saying, oh, no, they all get to set their own prices, but there are service fees involved, they at least acknowledged. But, you know, without insight into how much Uber Eats and Mr. D are charging these restaurants for their services, it's difficult to see who's gouging where. But it's an incredible markup for delivering, which, you know, if the drivers are being compensated fairly, then great stuff. But it's perhaps just worth people knowing how much extra they are paying when they order through Mr. D and Uber Eats compared to driving to the restaurant yourself.
Yeah, I suppose the trick is sort of balancing, you know, the fuel costs and time and effort, as opposed to that extra you're going to pay for the delivery.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think the thing that grates people the most is the lack of transparency. Now, the thing is, what's happening is a psychological trick, right? So it used to be that if you order Mr. D, the delivery charge was actually quite steep, you know, back in the day. This is now many years ago. It was, say, 22, 30, or 40 rand for delivery. Nowadays, in nowadays rands, that would be probably closer to 50 or 60 rand for a delivery. And if that happened to people, like if you get to the end of your order and it says, oh, your delivery will cost you 60 rand, then people go, no, I'm just going to drive myself for 60 yeah. rand. I'll just get it myself. Yes, thank yes. you. And so what they did was quite clever, and perhaps we should call a spade here, sneaky, is they cut the line item that says delivery charge to 15 rand or 10 rand or 5 rand, and then load the restaurant with service charges so that the restaurant has to hike their food prices and recover those costs from the customer on the cost of food, because the restaurant can't do anything about the delivery charge. They can only raise the price of their food items. And there's no mechanism to say the more food you order, the lower those surcharges become either, right? So the whole, I think what's got people understandably frustrated about this whole situation is the utter lack of transparency in how these costs are factored in. And so, you know, you end up paying this whole chunk extra without really knowing what it's going towards and if you're paying a fair price even.
So what's the trick? Just check the line items on the menu and see if you're paying for that burger the same price, I suppose.
Well, I think based on the comparison we did, and we looked at the restaurants that have historically been honestly the best, the fairest, right? So one of them, the two of them are Rocamamas and Nando's, in my personal experience, have been incredibly fair with the way that they price their food. And even there, you're looking at 20 rand or more loaded per line item, per meal, because of these extra surcharges that come from these food delivery apps. And yeah, if people want to see for themselves how much extra it is, most of these, especially the franchises, you know, the Burger Kings and the Rockamamas and the Nando's and the KFCs, their menus are readily available online. So you can go to their websites, look at their menus, download their menus directly, or Mimos is another one that comes to mind. Yeah. Download their menus from the website and compare it to what you're paying in the food app, and you'll see it's you're not paying only 15 rand for delivery. If you're ordering for, say, a family of four, you're probably paying closer to 70, 80, 100 rand for that delivery.
Oh, Jan, unfortunately, on that sour note, I have to cut the call. We've run out of time. Very interesting topics today. Jan Vermeulen, have a look at my broadband.co.za. Jan Vermeulen being the editor.